Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, June the 11th, 2025. 11 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time, and we're opening up with a phone call here, which is not a bad thing. Go ahead, caller.
All right. Love your city.
As we always do.
We missed the recap yesterday of Monday evening city council meeting.
I know. Darn our anniversary to fall on the day after city council.
Well, to quote Greta Thunberg, how dare you?
I know. Well, I'll tell you, I was talking with somebody yesterday about Monday night city council meeting, and it was interesting because it was a rather subdued meeting, and what I would say to the people listening, the basic overview is that we all thought CANDU was going to be funded, we all thought the ratings were going to be suspended, and Ralph Smith himself, the man who the week before said he would not agree to forwarding the resolution to full council with a provision that the readings would not be suspended. Well, he was the one who started off the whole conversation by saying, I just want this to be a first reading. Nobody suggested that the readings be suspended. Nobody had much to say except for the mayor, who got up and gave a speech. You know, his speech was kind of hard to interpret, but basically it sounded like he was saying, maybe we don't need CANDU, maybe we need a new way of doing this. I've talked to the county commissioners, and they seem to feel that way as well. We're not sure what's going to happen there. I've got a conference coming up later on this week where we're going to talk some more about this, but maybe we need somebody who's under the purview of the city, which was all kind of odd because the mayor, Ralph Smith, and Lois Fisher, who was in attendance Monday night, who were all the ones who were saying the week before that this cannot go under and we've got to fund this and we cannot hold off 3 weeks, all of a sudden Monday night had a complete change. And Lois never stood up and said a thing on Monday night. So I'm not sure what happened.
She stood up. She talked.
Well, not about that.
Oh, wow. I've got a sneeze coming on. I'll let you know when it's come to fruition.
Yeah.
No, I was pleasantly surprised when I heard that, because they need to seriously take a look at this. And that's what I've been saying all along. And quite frankly, I think those who voted to keep Gus Comstock should be fired from the Board of Trustees, and those who voted to get rid of him should stay and keep whatever that level of people on there at that level. We seriously need an entity to promote Marion, to bring more business and industry here. God knows we've got plenty of retail business. We need manufacturing in whatever form that may be, whether it's light, heavy, or in between. And we need to exploit those services we have. Tri Rivers, Bramtech, Marion Technical College, the Ohio State University, because these institutions, I know, Ramtech, Tri Rivers, and I'm pretty sure that Marion Technical College, if a company says, hey, we need a curriculum such as this, they will build a curriculum for that company so that they can have people ready, trained to come in and keep that assembly line their supply chain to others going.
Well, did you get the impression at all on Monday night, and really the only people who spoke were Ralph Smith and the mayor, Lois did not speak, did you get the impression that they wanted to keep can-do? I mean, I kept hearing for weeks and weeks that they could not let it fail, and then all of a sudden, Monday night, it seemed as if they didn't even think that it needed to continue.
Well, I think it needs to continue. It just needs better leadership. It needs a better organizational structure. That's why I suggested those points be added to the ordinance.
Yeah, but when the mayor got up and spoke, and he said the most about it, more about it than anybody, did you get the impression that he was talking about continuing with Can Do or creating a whole new position and organization that would be under the purview of the commissioners and the city council?
Well, but perhaps, remember, Ayers Ratliff suggested in-house.
Yeah, but what I don't understand, the big question here is what in the world happened in 7 days? I mean, clearly, somebody got to somebody. Because if you listen to that meeting 7 days prior, Lois Fisher, I think, stood up 2 to 3 times pleading, Can Do cannot fail. We cannot let this happen. The mayor stood up. We cannot let Can Do fail. We need to pass this as quick as possible. Ralph Smith, I do not want to suspend the 3 rules. We need to get this done. We've made them wait long enough. And all of a sudden, Monday night, 7 days later, Lois never got out of her seat while all these speeches were being made. Ralph Smith is the one who suggested it just be a first reading and not try to suspend the rules. And the mayor gives a speech, obviously pre-planned, but a speech in which he says, well, maybe we need something new, and I need to look into this. What in the world happened in 7 days? I mean,
a change of mind like that
will give you whiplash.
They received a phone call. I made a phone call to a friend of mine, and he gave them all a call. I don't know if you know who George Soros is.
Oh, you did. You got the money involved.
Well, all I can say is I had my good friend George Soros give them a call, and he reasoned with them.
Well, honestly, what did you make of that? The 3 biggest proponents.
I thought it was good that they are thinking about it. They're squeezing their brains. It would appear they're squeezing their brains and realizing that we can't just keep giving them money and not knowing what we are getting for
it. But do you think they came to that in 7 days, all 3 of them, at the exact same time? I mean, I don't think that happened.
I don't know. I didn't have my stopwatch on them.
Well, I mean,
it's been over, since February, this whole thing has gone around and around. I think it's finally sinking in, and they've come to the conclusion. There's no doubt that Ralph Smith had a conversation with the mayor. He's pretty much the hand puppet of the mayor. And I just think it's good that they're sitting back and thinking to wonder, how did that happen? Why, etc. Hey, ask them at the next council meeting, you know?
Well, I guess my question is, you know what? I think a lot of people were very happy that things went the way they did Monday. I guess all I'm saying is we're talking about a 7-day period. And if you go back and listen to the meeting the previous week, all 3 of those people, Ralph Smith, Mayor Collins, and Lois Fisher, were giving absolutely impassioned speeches on why Can Do should continue. And for that three, to all of a sudden, I mean, Lois even had a smile on her face as it was being read that Can Do was not going to be funded immediately and maybe not at all. Something happened. Now, I don't know. I don't think they all three just went home in that 7 days and all three of them at the exact same time said, you know what, we're thinking about this the wrong way. I don't think that happened at all. Somebody got to those people or something, some kind of suggestion was made, because that was stark. I mean, that was a stark turnaround. Why didn't Ralph?
You have to realize one important thing, though. It's not an unbridled entity now. There's a bridle on it. There appears to be momentum towards controlling the interests that, with the city participating, and it sounds like there's going to be more of an interest of the county participating, which is good.
But I'll tell you what doesn't make sense about this is that the county has already funded them for this year. And that was one of the reasons the city said they needed to do the same. And they also said that they needed to do this. I mean, Denny got up the week before and gave this great speech about how, you know, we need this money because there's going to be a carryover in the negative next year. And all of a sudden now, none of that is all that important. And nobody spoke on the council. I don't remember one person speaking on Monday in regard to this.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the next council goes. That is still on the board, and whatever is going to be created, organized, whatever. I just mentioned to a certain individual that, you know, the only people that really come up to council and complain, as far as I can tell, and I'm sure it's not 100%, those who voted to keep Comstock there coming up to council. But I told that individual, you know, those people who voted to keep Comstock should be off of the board, and those who voted to get rid of them should stay. That individual looked at me, and I could tell, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, I tell you this. I will say this, and I don't have any... let me just put it this way. When I saw what happened on Monday, there are two ideas that I have as to what happened in the last 7 days. And I don't have proof of either one of them, but I'm sure that one of them happened. And I don't think it had anything to do with people speaking out, because the week before when people were speaking out, they were coming up as defensive as possible about that. For them to completely switch around, if they were going to listen to what the people had to say, the week before, when the conversation was going on, Lois would have said, you know, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And the mayor would have said, you know, I really need to go back to the drawing board and think about this. And Ralph would have said, you know, yeah, let's send it on to council and have three readings. None of that. They were as stark in their opinion that this needed to happen. And in 7 days, all of a sudden, that opinion was gone. So I am sure that one of two things happened that made them all change their mind and sing a different tune and possibly even go toward the elimination of CANDU, which is the way the mayor talked on Monday. He said, give me 6 weeks, which tells me it's going to go the full three readings.
Well, I think he said that they've got 6 weeks or whatever.
Right, but that means that it's going to go the whole three readings.
I would have thought that it would have been a little better if they had said, well, let's kick it back into committee, you know?
Oh, no,
back into committee. But Ralph Smith was adamant. Throw it on the whole body.
Exactly.
He wanted to see what the vote of others would be so he could line up with them.
But it didn't even happen.
Yeah, well, didn't happen. But, hey, you know, who knows? What do you think Moses thought when he saw the burning bush for the second or third time, you know?
Well, I guess here's my the mayor, I mean, take his two speeches in 7 days. 7 days before he got up and said, we cannot let this fail. We cannot postpone this anymore. We've been postponing this since February. We can't do that.
Here's what I think happened. He was misinformed at that time. He has more information from that time to last Monday night. So he's changed his mind and decided to take a different approach.
Well, what do you think he got more informed about?
I don't know, but whatever it is, like I say, I think it's promising. It's just, to be pessimistically optimistic that something good will come out, or, you know, something better will come out of what we currently have. That's what I'm hoping.
Well, I said,
there was another thing. There was another issue besides the canned beef.
There was.
The charter.
The charter, which is... you know, that's going to have three readings, so that's where that is right now. And finally, somebody tried...
Didn't you find something completely incoherent, or I'm trying to... completely out of place when the discussions with the charter came up?
What's that?
Well, you know, I would like more people that dress like me to be on that commission. Wouldn't you want more people that dress like you on that commission?
Well, the conversation that came up is city school board member Tara Dyer, who has also run for public office a few times, spoke at the meeting against the charter, essentially saying that she feels that the people who will be put on the charter committee elected will not be in representation of her or her group, and it will be the same... Republican white men that seem to run everything else.
Well, wait, you one very important thing, you've got to quote her correctly. People that look like her.
Yeah.
Will there be anybody that looked like me? And I thought, you know, there is no requisite for anybody who wants to run to be a commissioner for the city charter. Those who aspire will put forth the requisite items needed to be or to run on that board. And to blankly say, you know, people that look like me, let's face it, that is a racist statement right there. It just, I cannot believe someone with her intelligence, her experience in everything, to really come up and say something like that. That just presupposes that, hey, the playing field ain't level here. In fact, anybody can run. All you have to do is get a petition, get the signatures, and get out there and campaign your butt off.
Well, that's true, but I certainly think she has a valid point in that it's not just as simple as that, because look at that council makeup. I mean, we have one Democrat there, and the city has went through some terrible times with certain Republicans in office, and yet we continue to elect them in office, and it seems to be whatever letter you have next to your name determines whether you get elected or not. And so, I mean, I think there are valid points to be made here that it isn't so much anymore. You know, I used to say that all national politics were local. It always starts on the local level. I think it's completely the opposite now. I think all local politics are national. I think what people see nationally going on is how they vote locally. It's a down-ticket vote. Go to the Board of Elections and pull the election night results since 2016, and you will see the percentages of what people voted for or who people voted for president or governor trickles right down within 5 percentage points of every local candidate. They're not voting for these people locally. They're not voting for them because of who they are. They're just voting down ticket.
One important issue you sidestepped is, does R represent any particular flavor of human being? Does D represent any particular flavor of human being?
I think on the whole, it does.
You're either this party or that party.
Right, but it's
what
become
was
that.
What talking about was, because I'm black, I want people black on there. Like, who has to say to that? It's the electorate. Get your candidates out there, educate the community, and put forth a platform that people will agree with, and you're going to get elected.
Well, I don't. Now, this becomes the age-old question, then, because we have had city government. Women have had the right to vote for more than 100 years now. Now, cite me any non-white person who has held significant office in Marion in that time.
That just goes, you know, it goes with the culture. It goes with the culture. It goes with the community. It's not to say it's bad. It's not to say it's good. It's just the way things happen. That's life.
Well, but I mean, I don't know that it's not that they're not campaigning hard enough, and I don't know that it's not that they're trying. I mean, Tara has run for county commissioner. She's run for city council more than once. Dana Martin is on the ballot this fall. She has run, I think, one or two other times. And there have been other people. Why can't they get elected? As you said, a very smart person.
Why can't they be elected? Number one, if they had the money to have a good presence, if the message that they're sending, their platform, the issues, and how they address them resonate with the electorate, you know, and if they can't connect, if they're out of touch with what the electorate wants, you're not going to get it. There's no way.
Well, what does
now,
the local...
to some degree, there could be bias with whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. But the fact of the matter is, just the numbers. Look at the numbers of people who vote compared to those who are registered to vote, and then again compare that with the population of the city of Marion. It's pathetic. That's why Marion gets what it gets, because people are too burnt out, too tired of hearing all of the rhetoric and all of the bullshit that's out there. They don't vote. Both parties, or even independent parties, need to start getting their act together and letting people know. We have more people who have faith in religion just by the sheer numbers that go to the number of churches around here.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, is that I think a charter commission is a little different than public office. Because a charter commission is making up the city government, which they finally got to on Monday to point out that, listen, we can't control what these people are going to do. And once we let this go on the ballot, it's never coming back here, although Ralph Smith thought it was. It's not, which again tells you, there you go, what people on city council know about what's going on with the charter. But the point is that, you know, the city government, a charter city government, which is supposed to be of the people, made up by the same group of people who make up everything, is not going to be possibly all that good. But
it's
I think
not necessarily going to be the same people that's on the board of the Palace Theater, that's on the board of Convention and Visitors Bureau, on the board of Marion Technical College, on the board of CanDo, or anything else. There is that potential, but it's all in the campaign. If you front these people as being frauds that are on this particular ballot slate or whatever, I think the public will be wise to that.
Well, I don't know. They don't get wise. They haven't got wise yet.
It should be requisite if we had a charter, and I don't know how it could be done, but I don't think anybody has a business of being on any more than one board in our community. We've got people that are on three or four boards. Now, how is that fair to much of anything other than rubber stamp?
Well, we'll see. I guess hope for the best.
It's something that we need to reevaluate and have that person that came in before, a couple years ago. It seems as though Aaron Rollins pretty much knows, and I think Neff pretty much know, that, you know, what is needed to build that board or that the commission. And it's going to take some brain power to really think through, because it is a good idea to have our own charter.
But they don't have a hand in building that commission. They might know what needs to be there.
They know the mechanics of it.
Well, good for them.
They know the structure of it. And that's what's needed to get people to get together to run on that commission. They can act as advisors on that. But the fact is, what goes on at the state house, you know, we have our rep is, I can't think of her name right now.
Tracy Richardson.
She has Marion, she has Union County, and I think part of another county.
I think so.
How can one person cover all that territory?
That's the way it goes.
And that's why if we have our own charter, we know what is best for our community.
Well, the people who come up with it know what's best.
Well, it's just like writing the Constitution.
Those 15 people.
Do what?
I say those 15 people will end up knowing what's best for the community.
Well, hopefully they will reflect what other people within their communities, neighborhoods, have talked about and include things, parallel some of the things that are in what need to be covered, I would imagine, through the Ohio Revised Code, and that would be how we run Marion. Columbus, Ohio is a charter city.
We'll
there
see.
There are a number of other charter cities.
I think the fear is, the bottom line here is I think the fear is that right now, city council, our county government, the entire Marion government is more Republican than it's ever been. I believe if you cite the Democratic office holders at this point, you got Ayers Ratliff, who's not running for re-election and will be replaced by a Republican, and you have Joanne Kasotis, the county auditor. I do not believe there's another Democrat in office in Marion County or city at this particular time. There's never been a time, cite me one time in the history of Marion City or Marion County, where it has been that heavily Republican. So the time to raise the charter during that time period, also in an off-year election, you will elect these electors where you will have the lowest voter turnout. There are only two city council races, nothing statewide, nothing national, no ballot initiatives. The turnout is going to be as low as you could possibly get. And to flip that in, I think that's the plan. The plan is, let's get the electors in place that we want, because not many people are going to vote this time, and those are going to be the people who will shape this government, and those are the people who are in representation of us, us being the people who basically run Marion government right now.
Now, I don't completely understand the process, but they have, what, 1 year to put a charter together?
Yeah.
And then it goes on the ballot. Council just approves to proceed with the city charter, in which case they will then vote for 15 people to be on that charter commission.
The public, yeah.
Do I understand that correctly?
The public will vote, and they would vote this fall, which, again, will be one of the lowest turnout elections we have had in a long time.
Well, you never know. Fear of the unknown is quite a motivator, positive and negative. But the whole thing I hear from everybody, say, oh, we don't need a charter. What if this? What if that? Winnie Churchill said it the best. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The more we know, the less we have to fear.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think we covered the charter discussion on Monday. We covered the can-do issue. And I think really the only other thing that happened on Monday was the talk again with Tommy Reese and is he going to get his training, which, you know, it was a little kerfluffle at the end of the meeting, in which Tommy wants to have a meeting with some people in the city, I believe the law director, and a few people on council. You know, it was a tense moment, but that's basically where it was. All right, let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, what's up?
Oh, not much. Having a good time. How are you?
Oh, you know, the whole charter thing, as far as there's a lot to unpack there, what was just said. As far as what Tara Dyer said, as people on that charter not looking like her, and Terry saying, you know, get out and campaign, do whatever, when I look at city council right now, there's no one that looks like me. There's one woman on there, and she's old enough to be my mother, and I'm not saying that disrespectfully. She said she's 76 years old. That would put her, well, old enough to be my mother. So there's no one, and I mean, when Ayers and Jason, they leave, there's no one that really represents my political interests, so that city council will not represent me at all. So that's where the fear is that charter commission, as you just said, the Republicans in a very low turnout election will handpick the people that they want on that charter commission. They will get it written exactly how they want, and then when it's a gubernatorial election next year, the Republicans will push it. They'll have everybody turning out to vote for Vivek, and the charter will get passed, and it'll be the government is restructured how the local GOP wants it to be. That's the fear.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what Tara was saying on Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that's what her
and
argument
Teresa
was.
Lepke, I believe. Well, that's what Terry didn't seem to be getting.
Yeah, but I think Terry is of the mind that people vote and people have their own mind and get out and campaign. And get
okay, but it's a 5th and 6th ward election. We're talking about people that would be strictly volunteers. I said, you know, I put my name
I think
there
6th ward and at large, I think. I don't
yes,
think there's
right.
anything, yeah.
You're right, 6th ward and at large. Very low, I mean, do you think 1,000 people will turn out?
Because it's at large, I would have to think more than 1,000 will turn out. But you never know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess I don't typically keep track of just the at-large elections. I don't know how many people vote in them. Because normally there's something more to vote for than one single ward. And, you know, I mean, you're usually going to vote for your, like, I would be going to vote for my council person also. And then picking my at-large seats. Like, I thought about just not voting at all. Why? And this would be the first time that I've not voted in a long time. But if they slip that charter on there, then I've got to go vote. I'm not against the principles of a charter city. I'm against what will happen with the power structure that's going on right now should a charter commission be put together. Because it will be the same people that are on the same commissions, that are on the same boards, an air carries with his, oh, you shouldn't be able to do this, you should be allowed to do that. Well, the way it is the same 20 people float around board to board, and they'll be the same people that are on the Charter Commission, the people that want to overlord us and rule us, and they'll probably slip an income tax increase in there and all kinds of other stuff, because you said it before. Once it's out of city council's hands, there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, that's what I think that did come out on Monday finally and was explained, and I don't even think the majority of people on city council understood that. I know Ralph Smith did not. He thought it would come back before city council and they would vote to put it on the ballot again, and that's not how this works. And
the slate of electors thing has me a little concerned too, that like five people can run as their own little party sort of thing. I'm not even sure on all of that, but Teresa Lebke was trying to get some answers on that. So like me and four of my friends could run as the Silver Street Party. And if you want two of us to be elected, then you have to vote for all five of us, is the way it seems.
Well, and by the way, just a correction for Terry, who was out there, one of our listeners this morning, Bob, sent us a message. Correction, it was FDR who said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, not Winston Churchill.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be that jerk.
Was that that bad? I don't know. I think we got to get the quotes. That was a pretty good quote.
Well, yeah, I just thought it was commonly known that that might not be correct. So, like I said, I wasn't trying to be that jerk. And also, I just want to remind Terry that while he's mad about Tara Dyer and telling her that she needs to gather her people and go campaign, he's also the person that dropped the N-word 3 times. In like less than 10 minutes. So when it comes to race relations, I'm not going to consider him exactly credible there. But my concern with the Charter City right now is the people, the low turnout of the people that will change this government, and the high turnout that will vote for it strictly because it'll get passed around by you're going to vote for Zach, vote for the Charter also. And this needs to be noted. Mike Neff is one of those people that's just sitting up there pushing so hard, we need to do this, we need to do that. Well, Mike Neff just bought a house in the county, so I can't help but think he's going to be resigning from city council sooner rather than later. So I don't know why he's so invested in the city of Marion's government getting restructured when he's loving the place so much that he's moving the hell out of it.
Well, he's only got 6 months left. I don't think he'll resign, do you?
If he moves to the county, he doesn't have an option.
I can't imagine he'd move in the next 6 months.
They purchased the house. Are they going to not live there for 6 months?
I know there are some rules on that, because I remember when Norma Jacob had that same issue where she had she was a city council person and somehow, but she kept an address in the city, even though she
had to resign. I mean, now we're talking about residency fraud, because I could keep an address and say I'm a resident of anywhere and run for office as long as I have.
What I'm saying is if you do have two residents, maybe you're renovating a house in the county, maybe you do plan to move in the county.
That's one thing, but where you lay your head at night is your residence.
Well, I mean, some people do it at different places. I just don't think in the next 6 months he would do that. I don't know. I mean, 6 months he can move out freely and...
Let's say January 1st is the day he christens his new home with a bottle of Dom Perignon. Why is he so invested in what's happening in the city of government next year? Because he won't be able to vote on it anyway.
Well, I think a lot of that, I don't think he's going to leave politics.
No, he's probably going to move on to be county commissioner, so he needs to set up this side of the street for when he's on the other side of the street. So the fact that he's pushing so hard to have this done while he's on his way out the door also concerns me.
Well, I don't know if that's a sure thing. You know, I keep hearing that from people, and I don't know that that's a sure thing. Anything can happen.
I don't think it's a sure thing either. He's got a pretty cushy job, and, well, I don't mean cushy as in he doesn't deserve it. I mean cushy as in it's a good job with Delaware County. And I think, I don't know how much he makes, so I could look it up and find out, but I think he probably would make more in Delaware County than he would as county commissioner.
Well, I just think that Neff is highly involved with this, and I'm not even, honestly, Aaron Rollins is the first one who brought up Charter City Heavy.
He's not mentioned hardly anything about it.
Well, no, but I think Neff, it just sits on that particular committee that it had to go through, and I believe he tried to get the information necessary to send it out of the committee, and that's why a lot of people are going to him. So,
don't you think Rollins should weigh in on the topic since he's the one that broached the subject?
Well, I think he did Monday. I think when he answered Teresa Lubke's questions by saying that's absolutely inaccurate. That's not exactly how that goes. I haven't heard Knepp speak up on a whole lot of things except for when the deadlines are and things of that nature.
In commission, he said, or in committee, he was all about it. That we need to do this and we need to whatever. And I just think it's very confusing. There's a lot of people have been asking me a lot of questions, and just what I understand, that I know for certain I understand because I asked and wrote it down and then asked again, is confusing people. Like, even if I don't want the charter, I still need to pick 15 people out just in case it passes.
Right, right.
You know, so, I mean, most people, they're like, what? So even if I vote no, I still have to pick people? Well, yeah, and if you want your interests represented, even though you voted no, it might still happen, so you need to pick somebody out.
Well, I'm not sure the charter's a done deal yet. I mean, I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of questions and going to speak a lot about this over the next couple weeks, and I think people better realize, again, that this does not come back to city council, and also, they can do anything. They can do anything. And if it does pass, it passes. And it passes on the city dime. And again, I think this idea that they're only going to put a few things on that charter that maybe council people want done is nuts. I mean, they'll have a whole year to write that thing, and I think they are going to get everything in that they possibly can. And if you have people like Teresa Lubke, who it sounded like wants to be on that committee, Tara Dyer, who it sounded like wants to be on that committee, Lois Fisher, who it sounded like wants to be on the committee, I don't think any of those women have any idea to just put one thing on the committee and stop.
Oh, no, and I volunteered also, and I have ideas also, like legitimate real ideas.
So that's what I say. I hope that the council understands that once they send it out of there in, two more readings, 4 weeks and a month, I hope they understand that's the last time they're going to see it, and it's going to be what affects them for years to come. So, you know.
I found some great examples of charter cities that are about the size of Marion that are doing very well, and they've abolished just about all elected positions except for city council because they are the closest to the people. And they've added a few more, you know, like we have, 9, we might have 12, or it might be the 15. We're a smaller town, so probably more like 12. We got 9, it'd have to be uneven, so 13. So, you know, tiebreakers, that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, I've seen some pretty successful cities. I've actually done a lot of reading about it, so I'm not just like, oh, hey, I'm throwing my name out there. I've done a lot of reading about it. Should it pass, I really do have some legitimate ideas. But what do you think happened? You said you think one of two things happened with Can Do. Just did a real quick shift there. What do you think they were? Bum, bum, bum.
Well, I mean, I don't have any proof of either one of them, but I mean, obviously, something happened. And
something happened.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. I mean, I was shocked.
Obviously, something happened. And I think if people think really hard about this, if they're that interested in Can Do, when you had the three biggest proponents of Can Do, the mayor, Lois Fisher, and Ralph Smith, 7 days prior, talking about how this needed to be done and how important Can Do was and how we need to get this money to them as quickly as possible. And then within the course of 7 days, all three of them in the meeting on Monday, Lois never speaking a word, the mayor giving a prepared speech on maybe we need some alternatives to Can Do,
and Ralph, he had already investigated some alternatives.
Right, and Ralph saying, first reading.
Well, at least had conversations. The mayor had at least had conversations about alternatives.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there was a whole conversation that went on after that meeting. But I'm not sure who the conversations were with, but I'm sure somebody got their hand involved there. And as I said the week before, and I will say this, and I think I'm on record as saying this, everybody was so sure, and I think, I don't remember who they were, but I remember they're gonna suspend it and they're gonna vote it. They're going to.
I thought that was going to happen, yeah. and then you threw the Aaron Roberts rule in there, and I was like, that's a real possibility.
Well, there was that, but I always believed, and I still don't know why this isn't the case, because I don't believe council votes the same way. I never saw any indication that CANDU was going to pass the full council. I still, when I look up there, and I can count votes pretty good, when I was looking at that full council, I did not see a majority. Now, some of them are iffy, but I did not see a full majority. So
go back to when this all started, when they first decided to hold off on the funding, and Twyla Lane going up and saying, well, can't we just go ahead and pass it and then decide to, or, you know, and then dole out the money when this is all taken care of? So that would tell me she's a yes vote. Ralph would have been a yes vote. If Twyla's voting yes, Sean Barr would have voted yes.
I don't know
if
for sure on
Sean
that
Barr
one.
And, if Twyla, Sean Barr, and Ralph are voting yes, then Thad and Frater are voting yes. So.
See, I disagree with that. A matter of fact, I absolutely disagree with that. I'm not sure that Neff was on board with this. I think he's on record as saying some pretty stark things about CANDU in the past. I don't think Thad Smith is on this. From what I've heard, he's had a lot of questions about it. I'm not sure that he's 100% on board with that. I'm sure that Ayers and Jason are not 100% on board. That's four right there. That's only...
That would have been four not to suspend, because Ayers...
That's, well, I mean, that's if the vote was taken. If they would have suspended... Let's say they suspended and went along with the suspension and voted it down. I'm talking about people who would not vote to pass it. I'm not sure that Neff would vote to pass it. I'm not sure that Thad would vote to pass it. I'm sure...
Do you think that's the reason why it didn't get voted on?
I think if you count votes and you don't have the votes to pass it, you better come up with another idea if you want to continue.
Interesting. I never considered that the votes might not be there. Never. I mean, honestly, in my reality, I never thought that might be a possibility. I do want to take a minute to give a legitimate, this is true and honest and sincere. I even sent him an email yesterday morning Tuesday morning, after I heard about it. Well, I listened to the meeting Monday night. But we've got a serious situation down here with, I'll say it, it's Ohio Galvanizing. Air pollution. People come, drive by, take a look at their building. You'll see what it looks like. There's the city school bus stop or bus garage across the street. You can look at the old GTE building parking lot. You can look at the parking garage. I mean, it's yellow. I remember about 10 years ago, they bought some houses out on Catherine because people were sick and getting ready to sue them. So they just bought their houses instead. So we've got a legitimate issue down here with air pollution. And I mentioned it once to Evelyn, and I made one video on Facebook, and the mayor has had a meeting with the Ohio EPA. He's got a QR code. We've got a link that we can make complaints. And if people are down this way, or if you've worked down this way, or you've lived down this way, please help us do something, because on a hazy day, you drive through there, and I mean, it's just lingering, and you can taste it in there. And once the neighbors really started talking about it, from the 340 block to the 400 block of Silver and Chestnut Street, on both sides of the street, we can think of like seven, eight people that have died, five people that have had cancer, myself included, COPD from people that have never smoked. So he's doing something about it, and he's giving us a way to make our voices heard and possibly get this taken care of, and I wholeheartedly and sincerely thank him for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think apparently it's been a big issue. Apparently Ayers has been working on it for years, and
Thanks to Ayers, too, because Ayers was at the meeting, and Ayers has been trying to work on it. We've all been trying to work on it. Like, we've called the EPA. The EPA comes down there. They're supposed to keep their doors closed, and the wind blows from the west to the east through the building, and they're supposed to have their doors closed so the air goes through the filters in the top. They don't keep their doors closed, and all of the crap that's supposed to go to the filters just comes out into our neighborhood instead. So get on there, people, scan the code, click the code, do whatever you got to do, and get them down here and help us out. But Thank you to Mayor Collins, and I mean that.
That's good. Yes, absolutely, and hopefully something's done quickly.
Have a good one, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to go to break here, and we've got a whole another hour to come, so don't you dare go anywhere. Stay tuned to WGH Talk Radio, and as you can tell this morning, it certainly is the talking place. Back after this.
guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had